Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is coming up on 309, another 89-degree day, a little more hazy out there, some clouds moving in. We are expecting some storms coming through the area, but, you know, that's what the beginning of summer is all about. We're used to dealing with it, and we will prevail. No worries about that. How's everyone doing on this Thursday, June 5th, 2025? The week's almost over. Hopefully your day now is winding down, almost done. You teachers and students, I think you're done early to the beginning and middle of next week. Good for you. Summer's here. Enjoy it. Make the best of it. Hopefully you got some great plans for you and your family. Hopefully you're going to spend some quality times with your own children during this time before those sport camps start winding up. No time at all. So we got lots to talk about today. We have retired Navy Captain Kevin Miller, best-selling author, the former skipper of the Gunslingers, VFA 105 Attack Squadron. He's going to be talking about his book, Silver Waterfall, about Midway, the Battle of Midway, which started on June 4th and ended on June 7th, one of the greatest naval battles and success stories in America's history. And we're also going to touch on Carrier Air Wing 1 and the Truman Strike Group just coming back towards the end of that. While I have him on, I without a doubt, want to get his expertise on – I know he's talked a lot about it. I posted some videos of him at the Air Museum in Pensacola. If you've never been there, it's on Naval Air Station Pensacola. You can get access to it when it's open to the public. It's one of it rivals the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. and Dulles. And if you've ever been to the AC Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. on the National Mall, it's a great place. The one in Dulles is even better. And I say the one in Pensacola is even better than that. It's not as big, but it's really got an in-depth display there, and it's a great place to visit. So if you ever in the Pensacola area, no doubt visit the Naval Air Museum. There in Pensacola, they have a beautiful F-14 Tomcat in the front on a pedestal. It's just a great place to be. A lot of times while you're there, the Blue Angels will be practicing right behind the museum. It's one of my happy places, to say the least. So we're going to have him on at 4 o'clock and move into the next segment with him as well on that. We're also... That new law is in Pennsylvania. I see the text message line is already fired up with that. This Paul Miller law, PA vehicle code 753316-1. It's effective today, Thursday, June 5th. It's now illegal and enforceable by police to use an interact mobile device, cell phones, while operating a motor vehicle unless communicating with law enforcement or emergency services, even when stopped at a red light. So if you are operating a vehicle and that vehicle is in drive, you are not to use a device except for hands-free unless it's an emergency. And I do see some text messages already saying, well, I hope this applies to the police also. Well, no, it doesn't. Not if they're in their official capacity. If you want to talk about distracted driving and such, anyone who's passed an emergency vehicle course, you are multitasking. More than the average person. You're not only dealing with radios, you're dealing with emergency lights and sirens and all sorts of things. So if you are in your official capacity, there is an exemption for you in this law. If you are off duty and on your own time and you happen to be a police officer or fireman or any other first responder, unless you're communicating to emergency services, then this law absolutely applies to you. So if you are a police officer acting in your official capacity, no, it does not apply to you. I see a bunch of text messages saying that, I hope this applies to the police as well. No, you will see the police because actually the majority of communications from our first responders now takes place through our cell phone services. There used to be CAD computers. A lot of cars still have these CAD computers and where 911 can text messages straight or put messages right on the screen. Other than that, you have your phones where you're in communications and the radio. So, yes, there is a multitasking involved with that. So I already see the pre-text messages coming up on that, so I figured I'd get that out of the way right now. But that law does take effect, so hands-free only. unless it's an emergency and you are calling someone, and you're going to have to document that. If you end up getting a ticket, if you appeal that ticket, you better have your phone record showing you were calling 911, Lackawanna County Comm Center, a hospital for an emergency, or something like that. So that's the law that took effect today, and I'll just give you a heads-up warning based on past history. When New York State instituted this same law, they were relentless. And I lived in Pennsylvania when they did that. But we used to go up to the Finger Lakes and the Lake Ontario and Lake Oneida fishing all the time. And they literally would sit on the exits knowing to where, you know, people were going up to these lakes to camp and to fish and such like that. And if you had your cell phone in your hand, man, they hammered you. So if that's any gauge to how this will be handled in Pennsylvania, you are forewarned that the police in New York State, especially upstate New York, were relentless when it came to non-hands-free devices and using cell phones while you were operating a vehicle. So just a heads up, don't say I didn't warn you, because I just did. So somebody says, can you eat a snack while driving? I don't see anything in the law that says you can't, but I've often talked about this. Smoking in a vehicle, lighting your cigarette, your cigar, your pipe, whatever it is, looking down to get a cigarette, cigar, or whatever it is, you know, that's all a distraction, right? Eating in your car is obviously a distraction. There's a lot of distractions in the vehicle. Maybe it'll get to that. Maybe it won't. But in this law, I think it's just specific to mobile devices, interactive mobile devices. So like a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I'd also like to see AirPods while you're in a vehicle. Something done with that. How is that not distracted driving? How do you hear, you know, other horns and warning signals and such? I see it all the time, more and more. So something we'll have to deal with. So what about loose dogs in the car? Listen, we could go on and on and on and on, but this law is specific to cell phones. So, again, I've talked about smoking in vehicles and eating in vehicles all the time. That's just as much as a distraction of grabbing your phone and making a phone call. Now, maybe not text messaging, but with voice text and stuff right now, you're basically talking to your phone anyway. So if you're holding it or not, is it really that much of a distraction as far as, you know, getting a cigarette out of a pack and finding your lighter and lighting it? I don't think so, but we'll see where it goes. But we're not here to really get into that, just to give you a heads up that that law is now in effect. And, you know, beware, because I'm telling you, New York State was relentless when their similar law passed. And I was living in here in Pennsylvania, and when we traveled upstate New York to go camping or fishing, and they got a couple of us during that time. So one of the other things, the Avoca Airport is getting a multi-million dollar expansion. We've talked about AVP, the Avoca Airport here. I've been a proponent of our local airport. I think it's a great asset. I think it's great to fly in and out of, the convenience of it. The parking's phenomenal. The facility's phenomenal. The lines as of now are phenomenal. They've started to add better routes, and that's been my one grudge. Not adding routes that really attract people from our area to take long weekend trips. They added a couple Florida routes. They've been adding routes. I would like to see a Nashville route. I would like to see a Virginia Beach route. I think a lot of people in our area, I've been spending more and more time in Virginia Beach. I think a lot of people in our area would love to take long weekends, you know, Friday to Sunday or Friday to Monday down in Virginia Beach. And it would be, what, a 40-minute, if that, flight? And you're at the beach. Beautiful beaches, plenty of hotels, Airbnbs, plenty of places to stay. The restaurants are great. I think it would just be a great getaway. I mean, a lot of places go to Myrtle Beach. A lot of places go to Ocean City. I think Virginia Beach would be just a... you know, just too far to really drive, even though I've driven it over and over again, but that 7 hours in the car is starting to wear on me. Nashville's another one I think I would love to see. Vegas, I think, would be popular, but with our casinos here, would it really be? I don't know. Maybe a place, a couple of suggestions I've gotten in the past is trips up to Boston, but they are investing part of a $10 million infrastructure improvement. Our airport here is going to receive $6.2 million in state funding to expand the terminal, upgrade the Transportation Security Administration screening area, PennDOT announced this week. Well, if you're expanding the terminal and you're expanding and modernizing TSA security screening area, let's add some more routes. I would love for them to put out community surveys to our entire area, Northeast Pennsylvania, to say, hey, where would you like to see us fly to? I would like to see that interactive input because I think they have been doing great things. They did have a lot of good destinations. They kind of went away when airlines stopped flying out of this area. And I would drive down to Lehigh Valley Airport to take some of those flights to go to some of those areas. But the more it expands here and the more they get destinations that I think people from here would love to go to and spend some time in, Savannah, Georgia is another place I think would be a great place for them to go during the summertime. You know, wintertime, you know, you have Florida, you have maybe some places that people want to go. Boston's always a nice weekend trip for a lot of people. So I would love to see them increase that infrastructure, increase that viability, because it is truly a gem here. Listen, I fly out of a lot of airports. Like I said, I've flown up at Stewart Airport in upstate New York because, you know, they went to some places that I needed to fly to. They actually fly to Norway and Ireland in Stewart Airport. Small airport, very similar to Avoca here, but a really nice place to fly out of, and it's only an hour and a half away. Lehigh Valley, another one, an hour and 15, an hour and a half away, another good airport to fly out of. Some good destinations down there. I think if our local airport here keeps it up and keeps adding these destinations and they've been showing the metrics to where their passenger pass-throughs have increased tremendously. I believe it was up 40% the last numbers they gave out. That's a great thing. And let's continue that. Let's continue to draw our people here, especially where people start maybe getting away. I saw one of these videos where for two kids, a family of four, 5 days in Disney is $7,000 for a family of four. So maybe people just don't want to fly to Orlando anymore. If they do want to fly to Orlando, maybe they want to fly to, you know, go to some of the other attractions that are down there. I really like Universal, which is equally expensive, don't get me wrong, but not Disney expensive. But maybe some of the beaches, Clearwater, you know, Pensacola. Pensacola, Destin, that 30A area is some of the prettiest beaches and clearest water I've seen. It rivals the Caribbean. Would love to see that added to our local airports here. Because I think families, as they get older, especially as kids get older, are looking for getaways with their friends, with their buddies. You know, they're home from school, they're home from college. You know, why not go to Clearwater, Florida for an extended vacation, extended week. Key West, I would love to go to Key West. I've driven halfway down the Keys, never made it to Key West, but it's the difficulty of getting there that's the issue. And if they made it easy from here, I think it would be a popular destination for our area, especially during the winter, where a lot of people would go down there. You know, the rentals are cheaper, the hotels are cheaper. So good work coming out of our local airport here. It's truly a gem, and I'm happy that it's growing, and I would like to see the destination choices grow as well. And I know there's a couple of hubs that it flies to several times a day where you can get connecting flights. But, you know, quick weekends, no connecting flights. You know, let's get on a plane in the morning on a Friday, get there by Friday afternoon to have lunch. You got all day Friday, Saturday, Sunday. By Monday, you're wrapping up. If you want to do an earlier flight or an early afternoon flight, that's good to get home. You know, you're only taking 2 days off from work. It's I think it would attract a lot of people. And give me your thoughts if you agree. And some destinations you may want to go to locally from our area for a quick 4-day, 3-day weekend getaway. It's 3:22 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So AirPods or headphones are illegal in Pennsylvania to use while you're driving. So there you go there. Some airport at Avoca destinations, Branson, I don't know what the attraction is, or Tennessee, or Butte, Montana, not sure why it sounds attractive. Somebody said that 4th of July, Breeze Airways from AVP to Tampa is only $79, not bad. No, listen, they've increased their destinations. It's good. Flew a DC-3 from Boston to AVP in 1970 from my Naval Reserve 2-week training. Yeah, listen, I'm just, where, if you were, well, you do live here. You know, where would you like to go for, you know, not over the top, banging you over the head cost-wise, where would you like to go for a long weekend? You know, that you, where you could just jump on a plane real easy, because it truly is. Flying out of our local airport is not like going to Newark or Philadelphia or any of the places where it's just a hassle. The entire process is a hassle. Listen, you drive in, you park real quick, you walk across the street, you're in the terminal, you're through security in a second, and you're sitting there waiting for your flight. I've had family members come here visit me that have come into this airport. I've had friends who've come in from other areas that have flown into this airport, and they've all bragged how great it is to fly in and out of here. So we do have a gem here. Let's take advantage of it to help us and grow it, you know, financially for the area. Their passenger rates have increased tremendously now that they've started flying to better destinations, have more airlines involved. And the more that gets, the more airlines are going to be attracted to do that. But, you know, I think they have to be proactive as well in getting places like that. And you know, I think it's up to us, the public, to start saying, hey, you know, I think you'd have a great clientele that wants to go here. Or wants to go there. You know, I think Savannah, Georgia. I think Virginia Beach. I think Boston. I think Nashville. These would make great destinations where people can just shoot a, you know, quick weekend away and they're back. Somebody says, definitely Virginia Beach. Get to see the daughters. Cabinet guy. Well, I hear you. I mean, I have a personal... well, a personal need for having them fly to Virginia Beach. But I listen, being there and spending time there, I think it would be a great destination. You know, Ocean City, Maryland is kind of, it's nice, but it's kind of declined, let's be honest. Myrtle Beach is nice. I like Southern Myrtle Beach much more down to Pawleys Island area. Much nicer, but less touristy, not as many hotels. Matter of fact, really no hotels. You kind of have to stay in an Airbnb or rent a house. But again, you know, Virginia Beach, I think, has a real nice mix. You know, Croatan Beach or up in Chicks Beach. And then you have the Virginia Beach area with all the big hotels. And some of those hotels are pretty impressive. We had a brunch at one of them before we left this past Sunday. Tulu, it's called. Right on the beach. Dolphins right in front of us. It was a great time. So... somebody says, the Hoover Dam. I always wanted to see it. So that would be Vegas. You know, get out there to Vegas. We'll see there. If you didn't know, the Lackawanna County Heritage Fair opened today up on Montage Mountain. You got some good time now, good weather. If you want to shoot up there with the kids for a little bit. You know, the storms are supposed to move in later today. But and some rain tomorrow. So maybe get it under your belt now if you could shoot up there. It runs Thursday through Sunday. Now, Saturday and Sunday is not supposed to be too bad either. Up at Montage Mountain Resorts, giving fairgoers access to the resort's water parks, midway carnival rides, live entertainment, and more for $15 price of admission. It's a real good, worthwhile event that's up there. It's, you know, low cost, high entertainment for the kiddos. You know, we do have you know, fire department fair season, carnival season coming up, so this is kind of a pre-gaming for that. But if you're looking for something to do today while the weather's still good, you know, you could shoot up there, play tomorrow, you know, as it goes. And Saturday and Sunday aren't supposed to be washouts. So Sunday looks like the better of the 2 days. But Saturday, again, I think it's going to clear up sooner rather than later on Saturday. So you could head up there to the Lackawanna County Heritage Fair up on Montage Mountain and give it a go. I think the kids would enjoy it, start off the season right. School's ending, it would give them something to put a smile on their face. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I had a story I was going to talk about, but this is blowing up. This is blowing up before our very eyes. I know Sue Henry, my colleague before this show, from 12 to 3, was talking about this tiff that's kind of going full-blown into the public with Elon Musk and Donald Trump about the Big Beautiful Bill. Elon Musk is obviously not a fan of the Big Beautiful Bill, and not for the reasons a lot of people are joining his side. He does not believe the cuts were enough. He thinks they should have codified the DOGE's cuts that were made rather than leaving it out of the bill. And a lot of the pork that was put in the bill, tax incentives for the middle class and the upper class, as well as the permanent tax cuts for those making under $30,000, shouldn't have been in there. It should have been more in line with reducing the deficit and getting a balanced budget. So that has gone back and forth. And today there was some back and forth between the president and Elon Musk about their relationship, saying, hey, you know, I don't know if it could be repaired. Well, and now it's gone from that to Donald Trump saying that he can balance the budget by canceling all of Elon Musk's government contracts. So that is no doubt a shot across the bow. And I was discussing that with Sue when we were changing shifts, because that was just happening, you know, at the 3 o'clock hour when I came in. Well, Elon Musk has responded to that. Elon Musk has responded to that, and he just posted on X, and it's already got 10 million views at 3:10. Time to drop a reality bomb. At Real Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day, Donald J. Trump. Posted by Elon Musk at 3:10 on this day. 10 million views. And right after that, 17 minutes later, he said, mark this post for the future. The truth will come out. So this is now a full-blown scorched earth. We're going to take each other's kneecaps out. So, I mean, this is not good, but I'm sure a lot of people will be celebrating this. It's childish, especially to deal with it on social media. You know, we've all seen those friends and family members who lash out on social media rather than dealing with the problem, and that's exactly what appears to be going on here. So that's the latest here, where Donald Trump basically said, you know, Elon Musk's issue was balancing the budget and making these cuts permanent and codifying a lot of the DOGE work that was done. And Donald Trump says, okay, you want me to balance the budget? All I need to do is cancel all of Elon Musk's government contracts. So I guess that in turn had Elon Musk, as he said in his post, to drop a reality bomb. This is in no doubt. This is a no doubt going to get worse before it gets silent. And it's going to be interesting to see this goes. And, you know, I was told that there would be no lack of things to talk about with a Trump White House. And that has absolutely come to fruition. And if you're, you know, I've never had this show while Donald Trump has been president. He was out of office when I took the show, and, you know, he just got reelected. But this is does make for good talk radio, I guess. So are you on Team Elon or are you on Team Trump? Or do you have to be on either? You know, let them work it out like adults. But it appears as of right now, this is going to be taken out on social media, which is never good for anyone. And we've seen this in real life, you know, in our small little circles. Because like I said, we all have friends or family who lash out on social media, and, you know, you look at it, you read it, and you go, what are they complaining about now? Who are they? And then you have the people go, oh, I think these talk, maybe they're talking about me. You know, I think they're saying something about me. And then you post a passive aggressive thing because you think they're talking about you. And a lot of times they're not even doing that. So this is going to get interesting, to say the least. It's 3:41 here at WILK. We'll be back. Jake's got jokes today. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Oh, we'll see where this goes, but interesting to say the least. I'm waiting to see if there's a response. But I'm glad to see the media, the mainstream media, taking serious these Chinese researchers with this alleged plot to smuggle crop-killing fungus into the United States. That could have possibly attacked the U.S. food supply. Now, I understand that these samples are being tested to see if they were modified to be resistant to the protocols we have in place here in America to deal with this type of fungus. And if that's the case, this was indeed agroterrorism. Here's the thing that it's mind-boggling. This woman who just months ago signed a pledge with the CCP. Yes, that's right. The Communist government of China signed a pledge with them and our allegiance to them, is working as a research scientist at the University of Michigan. How that happens is beyond me. But she was caught a year ago smuggling this very same virus, this very same fungus, not a virus, attempting to smuggle it into the U.S. to where they had emails and text messages of her telling someone in China exactly how to smuggle it in and that she's done it plenty of times before. Not to worry about it. To put it in the soles, you know, package it in a certain way and put it in the soles of their shoe. And she was questioned about it and says, well, you know, it's my research and stuff like that. It's just, I kind of wanted to fast track it so I could do this. So she was on their radar already. And this time they actually caught someone smuggling it in. So a year ago, they uncovered a plot with this very same woman to smuggle this very same fungus in under the guise of research, telling people how they can avoid detection. How many red flags do you need? How many warnings do you get here? It's unbelievable. And here they're actually caught. And again, why is a Chinese citizen who has pledged allegiance, they literally have the document that she signed with the CCP in January, pledging allegiance to the Communist government of China, the People's Republic. And yet she's a research professor at the University of Michigan. And no warning flags. I mean, one of the things that the president did do is what? There were 12 nations he put on the off-limits list for coming here. China's not one of them. China should be at the top of that list. China should no doubt be at the top of that list. And this proves that. And hopefully, listen, once this is out of the news, I don't think we'll hear anything about it again. But hopefully, whatever testing, my wish is, whatever testing is done with these samples, if it shows that they were biomodified to be resistant to the treatments that we have here, and they were attempting by deceit to smuggle it in secretly, that's agroterrorism, and it needs to be dealt with as such. You know, maybe I would like to see these two individuals, this professor, shipped off to El Salvador as an enemy combatant for trying to bring in something that would literally put us into depression in months. It would literally put this nation into a depression with the hit on the economy that it would take. That being said, it's coming up on 3:50 here on WILK News Radio. We got the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up, and I don't think they'll talk about Trump and Musk, but maybe they will. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 3:54 here, 90 degrees on this Thursday, June 5th, 2025. Well, if you're a regular listener to the show, you knew that the Harry S. Truman Strike Group, the aircraft carrier and its strike group and air wing, came in last week on Friday through Sunday. Friday, the air wing came in. Saturday, the helicopters came in. Sunday, the ships came in, the two Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, the cruiser, and the USS Truman aircraft carrier. Earlier this week, there was a post on social media where a bunch of people reached out to me, especially in the law enforcement community in the New Jersey area. An individual posted on social media saying that he just returned from the Harry S. Truman, that he was a sailor on the Truman, just returned from an almost nine-month deployment. And the family that was watching his dog, his golden retriever, had given it away. And he was pleading with whoever. He didn't even know who had the dog. He was pleading with the public, because it was a public post, to help find his dog. And if anyone who's reading this has the dog, you know, please return it. It's not just a pet. It's a family member. You know, it's been his comfort serving in the military for the past couple of years. And if you go through his timeline, he has pictures with this dog going back 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, creating that the dog was his was not much of an issue. So law enforcement friends reached out to me, knew my son was on the Harry S. Truman, knew I had connections with it, and saying, you know, is this legit? Because first of all, with all the scams going on out there, you know, with somebody just trying to scam money using this What Was Me story, started looking into it. It turned out that, yes, this was in fact the story. This sailor, and you got to think about it, you're a single guy or girl, and you have a pet, and you're leaving for 9 months. What do? I mean, if you don't have any family members close to you, if you don't have any, you know, that he gave it to what he thought was a friend family to watch his dog. And I guess during that time, you know, the dog was too much for them to handle, being put in a new environment and such, and they gave the dog away. They basically put the dog up for adoption to someone. So law enforcement agencies got involved. And you got to think about, you know, the reality of this case. You know, the family could easily tell law enforcement, well, you know, he left and abandoned the dog. We have nothing in writing saying that we were going to board the dog. We weren't taking any money. He wasn't paying us for anything. You know, he abandoned the dog. We couldn't handle it, so we gave it away. And it would become a court case. Now, I think the sailor would prevail in the end. But again, you just returned. You're an enlisted sailor. You just returned from a deployment for 9 months. Your family member, your dog, your pet is given away. You're distraught. Do you have the money or the resources to get a lawyer and fight this? Well, a bunch of organizations jumped in. Like I said, friends in the law enforcement community jumped in there, started to do an investigation, started visiting these homes, and they were able to track down the dog. Not only that, but an organization that raises golden retriever service animals offered to give the family that adopted the dog another golden retriever that would be fully trained for giving the dog back to this sailor. So this went viral for about 2 days, and progress was made during those 2 days. And then the sailor recently posted that, you know, thanking everybody for their concern, thanking everybody for the help in tracking down Archie. That's the dog's name, Archie. And that he does have the dog back, and that this organization stepped up to give the family that did adopt this dog in good faith. They thought they were just taking a dog off someone's hands. They were never told the backstory. But you have to think, you bring a golden retriever home to your kids, to your family. 9 months is a long time. You know, they get attached to it, and then you tell them, well, it's being taken away because it's really not theirs. That's hard for kids to understand. It's hard for a family to understand. But thankfully, you know, cooler heads prevailed and the right thing came to the forefront. And they did do the right thing. They said, okay, you know, we understand the situation now. This never should have happened. It's obviously your dog. The dog was very happy to see its owner. So it was really relevant that this was the dog's owner and this was his pet, his family member. The fact that this family gave it away and said, you know, we were under no obligation. We said we'd do him a favor. We couldn't handle it. He was gone for 8 months. He didn't answer our emails. Well, that's because he was in a combat zone. Under fire on a daily basis. So, but that's hard for some people to understand, I guess. And they did what they needed to do by giving the dog away up for adoption to another family. Thankfully, it was able to track down, and there's a happy ending to the story. Not only is this sailor getting Archie back, or has him back already, but the family that adopted this family dog that they thought they were getting is getting another golden retriever that is going to be fully trained as a service animal for their family. So in the end, it's a happy ending here. It's kind of a messed up thing to do. The sailor did add that he requests, because this was a happy ending and everyone involved and there was really no malice, it was just more misunderstandings and desperation than anything else, that the people please stop sending nasty messages to the family who gave the dog away, or stop threatening them. So really took the high road here, but it's a good feel-good story here. I'm going to be posting it. It's something I've been aware of since earlier in the week, but a happy ending. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK.